All right. Thank you, Greg. Welcome, everybody. This is Aspira's meeting for February, and looking forward to talking to you. And as usual, let's take a look to the agenda for today. And once you take a look, in case you have not done so, we need a vote to approve the agenda as presented, unless you have some suggestions.
Star, are we going into executive session first or no?
Yes, but we need to ask for a vote, I believe, to go to the executive session, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah, but we do the minutes now or in the public session?
When we come back to public.
Yeah, right now, Gam, we just need to vote to go into executive
Yeah, we
session.
just gotta go back.
Understood. That was my confusion. Thank you, Liz. So yes, let's go directly to the executive session. For that, I need a motion to move to the executive session.
I motion to move to the executive session, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz.
I'll second, Pedro.
Thank you, Pedro. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. With that, we're going to move to the executive session. All right, so we need a vote to move to the public session.
So moved, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz.
Second, Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
Any against the moving off? I guess not. I'm not hearing any to the contrary. So let's be expedite and go and approve the agenda for today, February 2025, Aspira board meeting. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So move, Pedro.
Thank you, Pedro. Do we have a second?
Second, Monica.
Thank you, Monica. And any nays? Perfect. The motion carries. Thank you very much. And now we need to approve the minutes. And once we take a look, and I'm sure you already did, then we need to have a motion for approval.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented, Pedro.
Thank you, Pedro. Do we have a second?
Second, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Against the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries and the minutes are approved. Thank you. Okay, so then we need to vote for the policies that were discussed. And in that case, we have two policies to approve. One is policy number 2012, a new policy. Can we have a motion to approve that one in particular?
Motion to approve, yes.
Thank you, Liz. Do we have a second?
Second, Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos.
Sure.
Is anybody against that the approval of that policy? All right. The policy 2012 new policy has been approved. We have another one that was presented, 4001, which is an amendment of a previous policy. Can we have a motion to approve that one?
Curry for approval.
Thank you. And that was Liz or Monica?
Monica.
Monica. Sorry about that. I was paying attention to my notes.
Está bien.
Thank you. So we have a motion to approve by Monica Curry. Do we have a second?
Second, this is Julieta.
Thank you, Julieta. Is anybody against the approval of policy 4001, which is an amendment of a previous one?
No,
Motion carries. Thank you very much. And once we did that, and then we go for the training. Greg, please bring us up to speed on that.
Yeah, so I, as I talked about last board meeting, I did reach out individually to those that are still either in progress or haven't completed. The good news is I believe we're down to 5 or 6 board members, so we're making progress. I don't remember all the emails. I know Ernie's been involved in some access issues. So again, I just encourage those that are potentially having issues with access. Ernie's your guy, he'll make time for you. You just got to communicate with him. But I appreciate everyone's diligence in getting this done. I know that you're all busy, but unfortunately, as we talked about last board meeting, it is a compliance matter. So unfortunately, don't really have an option. We just got to make sure everyone completes that training. So thank you for your efforts.
So let's try, if that's okay. We understand that you guys, this is part of your, you know, commitment to Aspira. It's important to comply. And as such, can we aim to have this done by next month? I'm gonna get issues that might affect Aspira now that we are en route to the Sussex expansion. So I hope you can help us out on this one. Thank you. Kelly, you're up for financial reports.
Okay. Are you all able to see the report?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So this is the report ending January 31st. We are 58% through the year. I would like to thank you all for being our wonderful board members and all that you do for us. So thank you. Going into the financial summary, I'm sorry, I'm just going to move all of your beautiful faces right off of my screen if I am tech savvy enough here. Okay. So as we go down, we have the subtotal for the state. We have budgeted for $18.6 million. We had actually received, as of the end of January, $18.5 million, and that's 99%. The subtotal for the local, we had budgeted to receive $12.3 million. We had actually received, as of the end of January, $11.3 or 92%. The subtotal for federal, we had budgeted to receive $1 million, and we had indeed received $1 million or 100% as of the end of February. So our total FSF revenue, we had budgeted to receive just under $32 million. We have actually received $30.8 million or 96%. Our expenses, you will see, we will get into additional detail in the next tab. But we had budgeted $33.4 million. We had actually spent $20.3 or 61%. So there's only that one line item, the capital outlay of property, you'll see is unfavorable. And that is due to the annual bond debt service that is paid in full in July. Our month to date here, so we had spent for January $2.2 million, and you'll see how that goes through the different months there. Our bar graph is looking great. We have our expenditures are less than the revenue, which we always like to see. We had received 100% of our local funding from the different school districts, so we had budgeted to receive $8.9 million, and we have indeed received 100% of that. Going into our cash position as of the end of January. So we had budgeted to receive $38.4 million. We have actually expended $20.3. We have $618,000 encumbered, and the majority of that, as you'll see in our expenditure tab, is due to having a purchase order in advance for the whole amount for the Sutton Bus Company or the transportation. So you'll see the remaining balance is 17.5 million. So we have 55% of our funds are already expended and encumbered. Are there any questions on the financial summary tab? Okay, if you want me to go back, just please let me know. So the grants that we have received for fiscal year 25 equal 450,000. Those are the two. We have received the Ellis and Rosa McDonald Foundation and the Crystal Foundation as of the end of January. And going into our expenses, so our total salaries, we have budgeted 14.8 million. We had actually spent 8.5 or 58%. The total other employment costs or OECs, we had budgeted 8.3 million. We had actually spent 4.6 or 56%. The total travel, we have budgeted 1.8 million. And here you can see our encumbrance is 384,000. That's the one for the Sutton Bus Company for the transportation. But we had actually spent in total travel 875. So the total encumbered and expended is 1.3 million or 72%. The total contracted services, we had budgeted 4.9 million. We have encumbered 187,000. We had actually spent 3.3 million. So the total encumbered and expended is 3.5 million or 71%. The total supplies and materials, we have budgeted 1.7 million. We have 47,000 in encumbrances. So the actual spend is 1.1 million. The total encumbered and expended is 1.5 million or 66%. The total capital outlay of equipment, we have budgeted $24,500. We had actually only spent about $1,200 or 5%. And the total capital outlay of property, we have budgeted just under 2 million. And we had actually spent just under 2 million or 100%. So the grand total of all categories, we had budgeted 33.4 million. We have encumbered 618,000. The actual that we had spent as of the end of January is 20.3 million. Total encumbered and expended is just under 21 million or 61%. Are there any questions on the expenditures?
I have a question, but I don't know if you will be the right person to answer, Kelly.
Okay.
I look at the electricity and the gas. It was about $325,000. Do we ever talk about set up some solar panels or some alternative way of energy for the building?
Yeah, can I chime in here, Kelly?
Sure.
So yeah, and I actually, Carlos, we had a presentation by a company several months ago, but I asked them to back off because one, I don't think the guy did a very good job of presenting. That wasn't showing a lot of cost savings and only depicted one school instead of both. So there was a lot of work that needed to be done, I felt, on the proposal. But what we do know is solar energy is great. I actually have it on my home, and I was actually in charge of the project at our church. So it's very advantageous in the long run. However, it's extremely costly up front. So that's the big challenge. This company was, I think, making, for lack of, I guess, better terms, they were making a little bit of money, too much money off the insulation components, even
Okay.
though they're guaranteed to, monitor and fix and warranty. Everything would be fixed no matter what for the length, which I think was about 20 years. But this is something that Kelly reminds me about often because she sees the invoices before they're processed. We definitely have solar energy on our radar. Again, there is a cost advantage. It's just the upfront cost. So I appreciate bringing it up.
And also, if, well, you mentioned, Greg, that you have it in your house, is with the insurance company, I heard this, that if it's a fire, the firefighter won't go in the roof, I won't go inside, because the weight of the solar panel will collapse the roof faster, and it's very dangerous. So it probably the cost of the insurance might go up. I don't know if it's true. I asked a couple of people, they say, yeah, it might happen. But if in the future we decide to go this route, I guess we can ask that question.
Yeah, I can speak on my behalf on what happened with my home. My insurance didn't go up. And what's interesting, the technology compared to when I was part of the process at the church, the panels are extremely lightweight now.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is just fabulous. But I will tell you, I love getting my electric bills. It's like nothing. There's costs up front, but you know,
right,
it pays for itself. So
and,
I don't experience mm-hmm. anything, any issue with any increase at all with our home insurance, but I can only speak to my property here.
Right, right. And I love the one Dell Tech have in the city of Wilmington, that they use a parking lot and they build this roof. But it's not a roof, it's just solar panels. So they are using very wisely the space. So that could be something else that we can take in consideration in the future, is the price go down.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing it up.
No, thank you. Thank you for answering me. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Any other questions I can answer or Greg can answer? Okay, thank you.
It seems that you did a beautiful job, Kelly, as usual.
Thank you.
And we need to approve this one as well as the board. So can we have a motion to approve the January 2025 financial reports as presented?
Motion to approve the January 2025 financial update.
Thank you, Carlos. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Liz. Any opposition to the presentation or the financial reports? Hearing none, the motion carries and the financials for January 2025 are approved. Thank you, Kelly. Okay, Greg, we're going to give the mic back to you.
Yeah, and I think going forward, I'm going to go ahead and submit a written report like all the other committees, and I'll start that in March. But I can tell you, so I'm going to start reporting on what's happening with Georgetown. I'll tell you, things are moving along nicely. From a timing perspective, I can tell you that the bid packages for demolition on the building have already gone out. They're close to making a selection. GGA Construction is actually the GC that's going to be doing the work. What's nice about that is, even though they don't technically work for us, because remember, it's the investor group that's handling all this up front, they're the company that did our East Campus final fit out. So we're very familiar with working with them. And the positive of that is they're very familiar working with a charter school in Delaware. So that's going along nicely. The architectural firm, which is Fisher Architecture out of Maryland, they're fabulous. They are very close to having a full architectural bid set ready. I think we'll see that in the next. We've seen most of it except for some of the MEP finalization on those drawings. But I believe that set will be ready by next week, if not this week. So GGA can get that out to all the subcontractors. The goal right now is to get a final GMP. We have an initial GMP, but really a final GMP once it's bid out. So then we, or not us, but the investors truly know what the cost of the construction is going to be. And again, getting back to the timeline, it's going to take about, they can do it in 6 months, but they want 7 months to complete the construction, phase one construction, which will consist of the just all the demolition and the first floor. We want to open in, obviously, in September of 2026. We are required to have the COO in place so we can occupy the building by June of 26. So that's kind of how we figure out our timeline. We go from, you know, start there and work backwards. So bottom line, everything is moving along very nicely. There's an amazing team of architects, engineers, civil engineers, you name it, finance group that the investors have consulted with. So it's all positive at this point. Again, it just will come down to what does the final numbers look like after all the bids come back, the total cost and the total financial package for the investors. So, and again, I know it's exciting, but I believe, again, we're gonna hit this target. That's obviously the goal. We still have several months of, not to to play with, but you know, we don't really have to start actually going out for bid for the permit for the demolition until August of 2026, right? 2026, no, 25, August of 2025. We wanna give that enough time so you can start the construction and get done by June of 26. So August of 2025 is when the actual demolition should be started if everything stays on track. So we have some time. Any questions about that? Again, I know it's easier if I submit a report, and I will do that, you know, going forward.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions at this point? Okay, thank you. So now we have Pedro and then Munaz with the PTO, but let's go with Pedro. Go ahead, Pedro. Thank you.
Please forgive me because I'm looking at two different screens at the same time. So just bear with me. But yeah, the basic and the West Campus GSA, you know, focused on Holocaust Remembrance Day. Also on learning more about how a specific triangle was depicted to signal out queer people. And, you know, then obviously, you know, focusing on MLK Day and looking at some fundraising for Valentine's Day. But we're going to go through the next slide. So, you know, so Black History Month was commemorated. The focus was around Black figures and inventions or inventors. And, you know, I had the pleasure of going out and being with the team for a little bit to kind of go through a tour. And that one, you know, definitely memorable in the sense of how the students from the entire community, you know, played roles like, you know, from athletes, you know, to Dr. Martin Luther King and the preparation that it took for them to, you know, focus on the learning and being active historians, right? And I think that was pretty impactful. We'll go to the next slide. So there was an attended event of author of a book at the Wilmington Library, Ruby Bridges. And, you know, so that's definitely something that, you know, kind of dovetailed into the wax figure, the wax museum event, which is the event, you know, that I was able to attend. And then we'll go to the next slide. So this is a list of events. The one I'll single out, there's, well, plus there was a family event even before that, that happened, I guess, but it was actually well attended. I want to go back to that because of the impact of seeing all of the students, the educators. That was definitely, you know, something where we talk about food as a conduit for us to kind of share of one another in our cultures. I didn't want to skip out on that event. I think it's something that should be concurring. But the Aspira con Cariño meeting is basically a team focusing on getting feedback from the entire school community, students included, in regards to activities that impact the school when it comes to, you know, from academic excellence to behavioral standing to recognizing uniqueness of everyone, which I thought is really well attended, you know, by the group and is ongoing. We talked about the Black Wax Museum, a great event there, some great students from the high schools all the way across through the fourth grade. I guess we worked backwards on that one. But you know, definitely something to start with the fourth grade, and you could see the energy and engagement from all of the students. And I think those are the two highlights. I know that Margie will probably, you know, cascade some additional information as we get through. But thank you for you know, for allowing me the time to share Ms. D's work, Ms. Stephanie, Ms. Maz, who you know helped you know tremendously with the work behind the scenes.
Thank you, Pedro, and we appreciate your commitment and efforts in being present so much. So you are truly appreciated.
Thank you.
The next one is PTO. I don't know if Munaz is there. So
that was a recap. I'll help out. We kind of chatted about how it was intertwined. Okay. You know, but basically, you know, the Family Unity Day, again, just powerful to see all of the parents, the educators contribute. A lot of the families made their own food or you know, brought food from local restaurants. But it was one of the best events that I've had a chance to participate in, and just seeing the families together and the culture of the school just came to life for me. It was just definitely something I recommend anyone to visit and support. And Margie, you can talk about the parent camp. I don't know if you're going to cover that as part of your session, but.
No, I'll add that. So we had our first virtual parent camp, and parent camp has been providing that option on their platform in other schools, but we've always been able to do it in person. But this time around, we actually, and it worked out well because of the snow, we gave, when they registered, we found out their preference, whether virtual or in person was their preference. So we ended up going with a virtual option, and it was actually really well attended. And it just, you know, allowed us to see that the session and the conversations and the connections can happen effectively virtually. Obviously, you know, everybody has their personal preference, but it definitely helped to alleviate some of the pressure on the team, because as you can imagine, when we have an in-person session, there's the food that needs to be arranged, there's the childcare that needs to be arranged, the space that needs to be arranged. So this was a nice way. So we're thinking going forward that, you know, there will be some in-person and some virtual.
Thank you, Margie.
Super. Well, there you go. That brings us, Margie, to your section of.
Do we have development?
Yes.
We skip over development.
Yes, that's right. I was looking down there. Yes. Thank you, Liz.
Sure. Sorry. Yes. So development update for. We have some January that we can touch on a little bit more, and then February later on. So the top two events that we have on the list were already covered. So again, a lot of these events kind of go together with our different committees. Very successful Unity event. And then the parent camp. Again, Maz had her fingers in all of these, so we're very grateful for that. Like Margie was saying, the virtual session. We will have another in-person and then another virtual session planned in the upcoming months of March and April. Another thing coming up tomorrow is the thank you reception down in Georgetown. So we really do owe a lot to the work that was done to go down to Georgetown, get to know the community, and by making those connections, there was really no opposition to the school there. So having this thank you reception in that area and continue to grow and build those connections. An event coming up, so Fund for Women Delaware is a women's organization within Delaware, and Aspira is going to host an event on April 1st, and this event is to encourage more Latino membership within that organization. As a part of that, they will cover a tour of the school and highlight the impacts of potential Funds for Women grants. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So it's kind of a mutually beneficial relationship here, really wanting to help them grow their Latina membership, but also they do have different grant opportunities that we can apply for within that organization. So the development team and Lynn specifically is assisting with a lot of the logistics and the day of support for that. Upcoming is something called CharterCon. That's May 14th. That is a conference for all the Delaware charter schools, sponsored by the Delaware Charter Schools Network, and Aspira will be hosting it this year, and Lynn will be assisting with the support of the activities there. Next slide. So Team Appreciation Week is coming up. So Lynn is working with the CMO team and the kind of the parent PTO team to help prepare the week-long celebration. So there might be some funds available through that organization to help go towards Team Appreciation Week. Historically, the board has been asked to donate, but the PTO might actually have some funds and they want to show their appreciation that way. So there may be more to the board later on, but as of now, that's kind of where it stands. Similar end of the year potluck is currently being planned. The 15th anniversary celebration, for those who were able to go this past year, it was really, really fun, amazing. For the 15th year of Aspira, the theme is going to be the quinceañera. So they're officially forming the planning committee to organize those activities very soon. Something coming up that's been a big fundraiser for Aspira the last several years is the Aspira Golf Tournament. So if you're a golfer, you know any golfers, or you know of any organizations who would be willing to sponsor a hole, the golf tournament is going to be August 14th this year at the Newark Country Club. A little something different with the organization this year. It's a collaboration with the high school directors and coaches, just to kind of have some folks who can assist with the planning, and the proceeds will support the athletic department. Other highlights, the parent meetings, having monthly sessions. The next one will be March 11th, and those appear to be going very well. And you recall the all-in that is still ongoing, continuous class support, and the team members are assisting there. Okay, so going into the grants and funding aspect of the development committee, something that we wanted to mention, Lynn has been noticing, because she handles most of the grant writing that goes on, a few grants recently, a part of their, you know, understanding the engagement of the school and its board, has asked, you know, do you have 100% board participation when you do different fundraising events? Does 100% of your board contribute in some way? And with there being some new members, you know, the answer was, we're not quite sure. So, any little bit counts. For example, this year, very soon, in a couple, next week, I believe, is the Do More 24 campaign. And we'll be sending some information out when it gets closer to that date. It's a great opportunity to donate to various causes, Aspira possibly being one of them. And having 100% board participation in any kind of event like this can really help strengthen our position when it comes to getting grants and funding. And a Fund for Women grant, you heard me mention that we were hosting them. We also submitted a request for the maximum amount of 15,000 that will be going to the tuition reimbursement program. So that's related to the event that we're hosting. And one more slide. Other grants. So Lynn has arranged meetings with the Welfare Foundation president. That is actually a prerequisite for that grant application. And this grant will focus on new learning rooms at the East Campus. And there's a Norfolk Southern grant opportunity. This will be, continuing the alignment on the project needs for those priorities and kind of working more with that group in building those contacts. So kind of related to some previous conversations, the development committee is really focused on building these community connections, looking at grants, looking at funding. And just my own plug here at the end. If you know of any organizations, be they a company that you work with, other organizations that have grants, and that Aspira might be a good fit, please let us know and we can write proposals and submit for different grants. If that is something that you are aware of, please let us know. Especially with the further expansions, there's going to be a lot of grant opportunities that we would like to explore. That's all I have. Any questions?
Well, that's all
Thank
you
you.
have. It's like, thank you, Liz. It's like you have tons of things to share. So thank you.
No problem.
And well, there you go. Finally, it seems that it's Margie's turn. If I'm okay, if looking correctly, because at this point I'm losing my eyesight, Margie. So please refresh.
Okay. All
Thank you.
right. Well, the good thing is that a lot of my information is covered. But I will highlight, so enrollment, we had the choice window closed in January. We had the lottery at the end of January. So you can see here how many applications we received during the choice window, how many had sibling preference. As you can see, that continues to be a large population of students that have sibling preference. And just so you know, Lilia, who oversees our enrollment process, is very diligent about verifying sibling. So there has to be documentation that truly does validate that it is a sibling. So it can require a little bit back and forth. So there was probably a whole lot more that stated there was sibling preference, but once we panned out who was truly considered by the definition, then it was 83. And then you can see the students that were invited. So we're sort of in that first wave of after the lottery, we send out the invitations, and then they have until a certain date to respond. And then, whatever open positions, we just keep hitting that wait list. So that is enrollment. Hold on a second, let me close that. Culture and climate, I will just give a shout out to our culture and climate team. Just continue to be just a great resource. I don't know if I ever shared with you, my husband, who works in a school district, in the Brandywine School District, has always mentioned how he really admires the fact that we have a culture and climate team, because that's not the norm in all schools. But to have a group of people that are basically taking a proactive approach to student behavior, and taking that proactive approach by having, coordinating events and really helping to mold students, providing them character development, and providing them resources to really grow. So I really want to give a shout out to our East Campus Culture and Climate team, and also our West Campus Culture and Climate team. And there you can see a couple of highlights that you can read at your leisure. I do want to then jump to the discipline report. As you can see, there has been a great decrease in the number of incident suspensions in the school compared to last year, which is a great trend. We're very happy to see that. We actually jinxed ourselves, because in the meetings that I was having with the East Campus team, they were happy to report that they haven't had a fight in the school since like November, and then sure enough, it was like the next day we had one. So we're going to be careful about jinxing ourselves. But I think overall, all, we have to remember that the work that we do is with children and children that are still developing. And so we have children that unfortunately are still struggling with how to deal with conflict. And at times they make the wrong choice on how to deal with that conflict. So we continue to practice the restorative strategies and use that to not only address the behavior, but also to help that those students involved to learn from it and make better decisions going forward. So we are seeing that that work is having an impact on student behavior, even more so at the West Campus. So you can see there, incidents per day have gone down, detentions, suspensions. So that's really a testament to the relationships that the head of school that Mike has created, as well as his team, Jorge and Kim White, our constable, all of them. And Cuquito, who's also the interventionist, but those relationships and being able to actually be a resource to students so that when they're dealing with a conflict, they're actually seeking out adults in the building to help advise them on how to deal with it, as opposed to resulting to physical altercation or things like that. So really proud of both campuses, and I think that's a real big testament to the strength of our team. On the East Campus side, continue to have walkthroughs. As I mentioned before, we have a new curriculum. We have a new reading curriculum as well as a new math curriculum being implemented. So that's always a really big adjustment for teachers, for administrators, for students, for families, So we've actually had the Rivet company, who is part of that curriculum, actually come and do walkthroughs. And so we got some really positive feedback from them on the implementation and the fact that the teachers, what they see in the classroom is that teachers are implementing it with fidelity, which is really important. And one of the things that we did this year, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. So it's called Intent to Return Form. And so one of our administrators has been doing this with their particular team. That's Kim White, who oversees education enrichment. She did this, she started doing this last year, but it's a way to sort of take a pulse to find out, are you coming back next year? Like, we need to start preparing for next year. And obviously at this point in the year, that's when we start working on the calendars. That's when we start looking at staffing. That's when we start looking at the budget for next year. And so a big part of our budget, as you guys know, is salaries. We are very mindful of, and we take pride in having a strong a retention rate among our team members. So we are trying this for the first time, sending out this intent to return form and asking our team members to respond by, I believe it's March 7th. And we basically are just asking them, are you returning next year? Yes or no? If the answer is no or maybe, what is sort of factoring into your decision? And so it's not only a way to find out how we can anticipate some attrition, but it's also a proactive way for us to address, well, if you're unsure, what exactly is going on? Why are you contemplating that decision? So we're really excited about it. We wanted to be sure that it wasn't misinterpreted as far as like the intent behind it. So far it seems like we are getting a really good response. And so we're hopeful that's going to be a really good tool going forward. Mid-year conferences have been happening. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention, like there's a big project going on in our state where for the first time in I don't know how many years, I mean, I've been in education now for almost 20 years. And we've always had the same school information system, which is PowerSchool, also known as eSchool. And we are now changing to a new system, Infinite Campus. And so, as you can imagine, that's a big overhaul. It sort of gives me a flashback to when I was at MBNA and we would acquire other banks and we would have to do that. We would have to convert that data into our system, and it never failed. There was always glitches. There were always issues. This is another big conversion that's happening in our school system. And so last year, there were some schools that volunteered to be part of wave one. We chose to be part of wave two. So we're going through it now. And there are some concerns because there have been some glitches, as you can imagine. It's a lot of training that our team members are expected to complete in preparation for this migration into this new system. The biggest concern that we have is that as part of this project, the Department of Education has always had oversight of the student information system. They actually had a team of people, about 5 or 7 people in the department that you could actually call. It was a help desk, and they manned that help desk, and you could call and get help on anything that you were doing within eSchool. I know I personally, like, they were such a lifeline to me when I was building the school, and I managed all of that information. And so part of this transition is that the department is no longer going to be overseeing the student information system. Every school, every LEA, district and charter, is expected to manage it on their own. And if they have questions and they need troubleshooting, they have to contact Infinite Campus, and there's going to be a fee involved. So there's a lot of pushback, and they're at the Joint Finance Committee last week. Representative Kim Williams actually went on record with the Department of Education at the, it was the new Secretary of Education was presenting. And so Representative Williams took that opportunity to let her know that there's issues, and she's been hearing of these issues within Infinite Campus. But the biggest one is the fact that DOE is no longer going to have oversight. So just want to bring this to your attention because it is a concern. Greg and I talked about it earlier today, and it's just, there's just not sure if we're going in the right path. But for now, our team is going to the trainings, and we're preparing for the transition the best that we can. And West Campus. So, they had the end of the marking period, so they celebrated principals honor roll, which is straight A's and honor roll as well. So we had quite a few quite a few students that received that recognition. Very proud of them. We continue to have different school traditions as far as hangouts, opportunities for students to bond and connect outside of school, which are always really well attended. And one thing that we're really focusing on at both of our campuses is really supporting our MLLs, which is our multilingual learners. We have one of the largest percentages of MLLs in our school. And so if you think about it, it's about at the East Campus, it's about 32% of our population, whereas our students with IEPs is only about 15%. So it's more than double of what of our students with disabilities. At our West Campus, the percentage is even higher. It's like 40% of our students are MLLs, only 17% have IEPs. So when we talk about like striving for academic excellence, we really have to hone in on that population of students and learn how to support them. And so it can't be just a responsibility that our MLL teachers have. It really needs to be the responsibility of every single teacher. Everyone in our school has to know how to support students that are learning a second language. So that's been really fruitful. So we're dedicating more time to that in our professional development. And let me see. Oh, so other updates. I just wanted to give you some things from my perspective, things that I'm working on. So I've tomorrow is my last one, but I've been conducting these 90 for 90 sessions with each of my direct reports, and then they've been inviting their teams to the table to report out, and it's really been a great interaction. It's also serving as the mid-year conference with my direct report, so it's definitely serving two purposes. But the reason I called it 90 for 90 is because I'm really giving our team an aspirational goal that we will become a blue ribbon school in 3 years. So we basically are saying we're going to dedicate 90 minutes in order to get to the 90th percentile. So our conversations are all about how do we support getting to that goal. Like I said, tomorrow is my last one. I have Dee's team tomorrow, and I'll be happy to share with you sort of a summary of what came out of those meetings. But they're not meant to be a one-time occasion, but to have follow-up conversations as well, as far as like opportunities that come up in those discussions. As you guys know, I'm a commissioner on the Delaware Hispanic Commission. We had a retreat on the 3rd, and we actually are attending a meeting with the governor on Friday. As part of that retreat that we had on the 3rd, we reached out to the governor's office and asked that we meet with him, that the Hispanic Commission needs to be at the table involved with addressing the things that are happening in our state. Among our immigrant communities, as well as our LGBTQ community, there's the Hispanic Commission was created to advocate on behalf of our community. So, fortunately, we were able to get a meeting for this Friday. As I mentioned, the JFC meeting was last week, and so I got to present as a co-lead of the charter leaders. So Michelle Marinucci and I both presented, and it was just great to sort of give an overview of all the 24 charter schools. 13% of our student, our public school students, attend a charter school in our state. It's 13%. So that percentage just continues to increase year to year. This past couple of days, on Sunday through yesterday, I was in DC. The National Public Charter School Alliance was hosting their advocacy week. So they asked individuals like Kendall and Kendall's counterparts, as well as charter leaders, to come to DC. They pay for the event and the accommodations, and then they make arrangements for all of us to meet with our federal legislators. So we had an appointment with Senator Coons and Senator Blunt Rochester and Congresswoman McBride. We didn't actually get to meet with them, but we got to meet with staffers, so be able to convey the message and the priorities from the charter school community. The study council, so that is an initiative that we're working with University of Delaware. It's being funded by the Department of Education. So we had one of those today, and we're actually hosting one on March 7th, next Friday. But what that is that the superintendents have always had this study council, and Kendall was able to advocate for charter leaders to be brought to the table. They specifically only allowed those charter leaders that have K-12 schools. So it's MOT, Newark Charter, Sussex Academy, and Aspida that are included in these study councils. But now that we've sort of have been spun off from the superintendent version, and now it's more charter leader focus, it's been more relevant to the work that we're doing. As was mentioned, tomorrow we're hosting a meeting down in Georgetown. We want to continue to maintain this high level engagement with the community. So I will be down there presenting. We got the artist rendition of what the building is going to be transformed into. We're blown up into these nice posters that will be on display. Initially, we didn't know if we were going to get enough people to have an in-person event. During the registration process, we did ask people if their preference was virtual or in person, but we did get about 30 people that are very interested in coming in person. And so the vice mayor also invited somebody from the media side that's going to be live streaming it on Facebook. And then CharterCon was mentioned. And then just to give you a heads up, we start on the calendar already. So it's in development. So I'll be bringing that to you guys in April for approval. And then lastly, an ask of the board, and I'll send this email once I'm done here. But there are times when we need to, lean on the larger charter community to help with advocacy. I mean, Kendall does a lot of that work, and we pay lobbyists to do that work. As the leader of our legislative committee, it's work that I do as well. But sometimes we need reinforcement, and so Regulation 1596 is one of the examples where we need a little bit more of firepower. So we're asking that you consider submitting a comment in opposition of 1596. In a nutshell, this regulation would basically take away the flexibility that charter schools have when it comes to hiring their leaders, and requiring that we are held to the same standards and the same requirements of district leaders. And so you can read more about it in the email that I send you, but we feel that what's been valuable in the charter space is that we've been able to recognize the unique needs of each of the communities that each charter school serves. And you, as a board, should have the right to find the leader that you feel meets that need the best and not be restricted to, for example, in my case, the fact that I did not have a master's in school leadership would have prevented me from being the leader and the founding member of the school. So the fact that the experience that I bring from my 16 years in the business world is not considered valuable, when all of you know that I think one of the things that has helped us continue to be strong as an organization is that we have a great combination of people that have instructional education experience, but also people that have really strong business experience, how to manage the business, the operations, the finances. So I would appreciate your support in that, and I'll send the email to you right after we're done. And that's all I had. Any questions?
Just sort of thank you, Margie.
Huh?
Who's proposing that legislation?
Well, it's right now it's with the Professional Standards Board. So ironically, Secretary Holodick and his team were open to us having exceptions. So we actually in collaboration with the Department of Education, we created an ARTC program specifically for charter leaders. And the we sort of were You know, we felt that we were going to be able to get it through the Professional Standards Board, through the school board, and have it implemented. The Professional Standards Board is refusing to approve it, so that's where it's sort of being held. So really, our opposition is against the Professional Standards Board and the fact that they are not supporting the concept of the diversity of our leaders in charter schools.
Right. Thank you, Margie.
Yep, I have a question, Margie. In one of your slides, you showed that 99 students are coming into the ninth grade. Do we have a day where all these students come together, just these 99 students, for example, and have what is Aspira and why is Aspira? I don't know if I'm trying to find the word to spell it
No,
out.
that's good. So actually all of our ninth graders have a class called Freshman Seminar. And in the
Okay.
Freshman Seminar curriculum is actually a lesson on Aspira. So and in the past I've been actually going in and presenting the Aspira story. So I tell them all about Dr. Antonia Pantoja and I give them the history and all of that.
And can we, what about the parents?
Good question. Yeah, we haven't done that with the parents.
I think that, you know, we only have the two front wheels. We need to bring the two back wheels so the cars can go.
That's
Yeah,
a good point, Carlos.
if you need volunteers for that, just let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Good, you're welcome.
Well, terrific. It seems that we got all the way to covering everything we needed to cover. Is there anything else we need to add, a question we need to address, or anything we need to consider?
I would
Yes.
say one thing. I've been attending, they're having a puberty class for 2.5 weeks, and I've been asked to sit in and support. And so I've been there the past 3 days. And so I would suggest that, any board member that can support when those things come up, or teachers want support and they want somebody to be able to sit in the class and just be present. It's been wonderful these past 3 days, but I still have another. Basically 2 weeks left, so it's exciting. It's exciting, and I'm learning so much just about how things function within the school through the interaction. A lot going on, a lot of movement, but the children are awesome. Awesome. This is just awesome experience. So if you get a chance, if you're ever asked to sit in, Monica?
What's the
So it's a health class. It's a health class. The health teacher is teaching puberty
Okay.
for the fifth graders.
I'm
And
sorry. I just wanted to make sure I heard you. I get it. I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly because I don't remember, but it's been a long time since I've been in elementary school. So,
but
okay.
to have a male in a room to represent the boys and just try to create some balance with the teacher. It's been awesome. Miss Smith has been awesome, and so the experience it just has been great. So just say ever you get asked to support something like that, different initiatives, you'll get a lot of enjoyment out of it. I'll tell you, I enjoy it so much. So just wanted to share that with Margie and
I
everyone.
nominate you to continue doing that, Rob,
Yeah,
for us.
I
Yes.
no second needed.
Yes.
Well, I'm doing it this year. I'm sure next year they'll need someone else. So just keep it in mind.
Yes.
But that's all. I just wanted to share that.
No, thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Well, we got to the point where I'm sure you want to stay, but you have families, and probably are going to say stop right now. So we need a motion for the adjournment of the meeting.
Motion to adjourn the meeting on February 26, 2025.
There you go. Look at the specificity. Nice, Carlos. Yeah. Thank you. We have
Monica
a second.
Curry, I second it.
There you go.
Margie.
Excellent.
Make an announcement tomorrow that is the Dominican Independence Day.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you
okay.
go.
Congratulations
on that.
One last thing before we go. I just want to confirm one thing. When we had the motion for policy 2012, I thought you wrote it down, girl Amina. You asked the question. Who was the one that motioned for it and who seconded? I just want to make sure I have the notes for that.
All right. Yes, go ahead.
Before we close, just to make sure I have it accurate.
Refresh my memory, guys. I was not necessarily taking notes, but let's.
I have it for policy 4001. That was Monica and Julieta. But for the first one, which was 2020,
right.
Do we know who motioned for those?
Rob, I can listen to the recording because I have to post it tonight. So I'll send you an email.
Okay. Well, I have all the notes. I'll email you the notes just so you have it. It's already done.
Okay.
Awesome. The notes. But just that one is in red. I didn't catch those two people.
Right. Thank you, Rob. It seems that Greg is going to make the trick for us.
All right. Good. I'll email it to you, Greg.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And well, at this point, I'm asking if there's nays for the adjournment of the meeting. And I believe that nobody wants to do that. So let's go right ahead and conclude the meeting. Thank you, guys. I hope you will be in touch.
All right. Thank you all.
Have a
good
night.
All.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Bye.